And today, as we kind of start in December, it's like, whoa, wow, we're here already, the last month of the year. And I think at this time, we might, amidst all the busyness of trying to get to the end of the year, we might also be sort of looking back and reflecting a little bit about what the year's been like and what we might hope for. So I thought, just in these next few moments, why don't we think about how would you describe 2024 in one word? What would sum it up for you? And in the next 30 seconds, 40 seconds, share that with your neighbour or with someone you haven't shared that type of thing with recently. Go. How would you describe 2024 in one word? I'm hearing some funny ones. Okay, that 30 seconds is up. Next question. What do you hope for in 2025? You can be more than one word. What do you hope for this coming year? So it's good to reflect, isn't it? Actually, today is my wedding anniversary, or our wedding anniversary with To, yeah. And To asked me, we went out for a morning walk and a cuppa by the beach, because we often do that, and we thought, well, we should do it today, because it's such a special day. And he was asking me too, you know, what do you want? What do you want for our relationship, our marriage for the coming year? And so we were thinking of things that would bless us as a couple and things we could be doing together. So, you know, so we all hope for good things, don't we? I mean, we don't hope that next year's going to be worse than this year, but we always hope for better things, better relationships, better work environment, finance, whatever it might be, whatever our situation is, we're always hoping for something better. And the great news is that God wants that for us too. God is always wanting us to flourish and to move and to grow and to learn and to be more of who He's always intended us to be. You know, that when we actually say yes to Jesus, Jesus said we're born again of the Spirit. We start as babies and spiritual babies, but like all babies, we want them to grow, and God wants us to grow. So as we learn more about who God is and as we follow that, apply that truth in our lives, live in obedience to what He's showing us, we grow up. And that's what God wants for us. He's always wanting us to grow. And Simon reminded us a couple of weeks ago from 2 Corinthians 3:18, shared a great verse which is telling us about that. And it says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So God has us in a fantastic process of transformation. And He's wanting us to keep moving onwards and upwards in a really positive trajectory in our relationship with Him and in our experience of the more of God, of being more of who God has always created you and intended you to be and me to be. And so today we're looking at this concept of letting go in order to move forward and grow with God in our lives. And so today we might just be having that little question bobbing in our minds. What are there things that maybe God is prompting us or wanting us to let go of? And we want to explore that today. And I think a great way to look at that is to look at some of the interactions that Jesus had. And in Mark chapter 10, as we start from verse 17, we see how he meets a young man. So let me read the beginning of that. So as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your mother and father." And the young man said, "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him, but then said, "One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. So there's a young man that comes to Jesus, very rich, obviously, very rich, great wealth, and yet he knows there's something more to life. And Jesus has that, has the answer. And he comes to Jesus. He wants more. He's used to having more. And he wants the best. He wants what he hasn't got right now. Spiritual riches. Eternal life. And Jesus sees this young man in his heart and brings to him a challenge. That if he wants these spiritual riches that he's looking for, eternal life, he's challenging him to let go of something. And for him, it's his riches, his earthly riches. It's interesting, in this moment when Jesus meets and speaks with this young man, that Mark would actually bring to attention that sentence that Jesus looked at him, really looked at him, saw this young man right where he's at and loved him. You know, he loved him. He could see the struggles he was at, his desire, and knew that there was a challenge that needed to be issued. And Jesus, in his attitude, in his desire to love and see more, brings a challenge. He speaks truth to him. And Jesus looks at us too with eyes of love. He sees our desire to live and to please God in all that we do. And Jesus is always speaking his truth to us in love, that we might be aware of ways that we can grow more, because that's God's heart for us. So today, you know, as we consider our own life, is there something that we might be lacking in our journey with Jesus? Is there something that's holding you or me back, or something that's actually holding on to us? And holding us back from moving into the more that God has for us. I think it's a helpful verse to look also at what Paul says in 1 Timothy, because I think there's something good to bring out here. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And Paul's writing this letter to Timothy, who is overseeing and raising up the church in Ephesus. And Paul writes to Timothy, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, So he's saying, encourage these people to let go of the attitude they have toward their wealth, that they're putting their hope in wealth. This is the issue. It's the attitude of their heart. Don't put your hope in wealth, thinking that's going to be the answer to everything, because it's so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Really important to see that. God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So with our first story, starting off with our young man, Jesus isn't trying to be a killjoy, isn't trying to be stingy, isn't trying to say no one is allowed to have money to come and follow me. But he's pointing out you are putting your trust in your wealth. You're putting your trust in riches. You need to put your trust in me. And so Paul is bringing that out too. He wants us to put our hope fully in God. And to do that then, command them instead to do good, to be rich instead in deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So that's what letting go looks like. It's a change in attitude and behaviour that's more in line with how God wants us to live. And that's to impact others with the beautiful, generous love of God that we have been so richly blessed in. And in this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. That's really God's heart, that we would let go of the things that would hold us back. Let go of attitudes in our heart where we're trusting other things rather than God, because he wants us to take hold of life, real life, that will bring us satisfaction, the life that we've really been made for. So from these scriptures, we can see that there are things that we can take hold of that is unhelpful, because we're actually made to take hold of God and for that fullness of life. So it points out that it is possible for us to actually take hold of things that are very unhelpful for us. It is a possibility. We can have actually unhealthy attachments to things, and sometimes have those unknowingly in our lives. So I thought it might be helpful just to sort of put up examples, possible examples of what unhealthy attachments might look like. So we might have relationships with things in an unhealthy way. Could be with people, could be with things. We could have, it's important for us to be open. What is God saying to us in this area of our life? Are there relationships that drag you away from God's leading in your life? And this can be with people or with things or things that we do. Are there people in your life, maybe they're not believers and you want to hang out with them to influence them for the gospel, to show the goodness of God in their life? And the question there is, who's influencing who? Are you getting to influence those people, or are they actually dragging you away from living your fullness, your full life in God? Are there relationships in your life where there's control or manipulation? You know, God wants us to always be growing into being fully who we are. Are there relationships that God is speaking to you about that may not be healthy or where he's leading you? Limiting beliefs. Are there things that you believe? Are there things, maybe you have a belief that if you have more things or more possessions, that will make life better or make me look better? It's something to do with your identity. It's important. But it's good for us to realise that in God, God said he's going to give us all that we need as we follow him, and our identity is that we're called to be his children, that we are his child. And thinking about how we think about ourselves. You know, do we think more highly of ourselves than we ought or not enough as to how God really sees us? Our need for control. If we feel like we need to control everything in our life, then we're not making room for God and not allowing ourselves to listen or trust his leading. And sometimes we might believe that we really know how our life should work out. You know, we know what the plan of our life should be. We should be able to go to school, go to uni maybe, get a job, get married, get a house, have a family, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, sometimes because our culture might dictate certain things that are kind of what they would say normal, we feel like, yes, that's what I need to have in my life. But when we really do that, we might be, again, shutting God's possibilities out for us. And so we want to make sure we're open and holding things loosely for God to speak into our lives. We don't want to hold on to things so tightly that God can't actually move and challenge our hearts. Or we might have negative thought patterns. You know those things that come up. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not gifted enough. I don't know enough. No one's ever going to listen to me. And those sorts of thoughts can come through what people have said or just from anywhere, really. But they can get very ingrained in us and lead to self-doubt and fear. And again, stops us from really pushing in and trusting the more of what God might actually have for us. Because God's more brings us into greater righteousness, peace and joy in his spirit, in our lives and fullness that we get to experience. And when we get to hold, when we start holding on to things that God doesn't want us to hold on to, it minimizes our growth spiritually, emotionally, mentally. It impacts our relationships with God and can with others as well. You know, we might resent people that we feel are holding us back because we're actually holding on to a relationship that maybe we shouldn't be. Or we might start to distance ourselves because we feel like I'm not good enough and we don't know what to do with those things. So we can limit what God can do in our lives when we don't make room for God. And so it's a good, again, to think, is something holding you? Sometimes it's not just about us holding onto an idea, but that idea or that thing starts to take hold of our lives. Is there something holding onto us? So let's flip back that interaction that Jesus has with this young man in Mark 10. Let's go back to, we'll pick it up again in 23, verse 23. So he says to this man, there's one thing you lack. Give your wealth away, then come and follow me. And the man goes away sad. So Jesus looks around and says to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. You know, our desires and what we love or what we choose to love is very powerful. But as we think back to the verse I shared, that Simon shared with us some weeks ago, you know, it's as we stick with God, as we gaze upon God, as we spend time with God, there's something that he does that we can't even do ourselves. He brings this transformation and change of attitude. Because as the disciple says, you know, how it's impossible. How do we change our hearts like that? And Jesus said, yeah, it's hard, but but it's not. The Lord in you can do the seemingly impossible, and that's to mould our hearts to choose God. And wonderfully, Jesus points out that as you let go of the things that you thought you should hold on to, that as you let go, you actually gain more. So in Mark 10, we continue in verse 28. And Peter said to him, "We've left everything to follow you." So Peter's saying, you know, we've made room for you, Jesus. We've made room for you. We've let everything go that the world would say is important for us to keep hold of. We've made room for you in our lives. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecution." So he's saying, you know, God gives things to us for us to enjoy now in this life. He's not wanting to hold anything back, not at all. And there will still be trials because that's life in this earth. But he's going to give us all of these wonderful things and in the age to come, eternal life. So Jesus is saying, if you just follow me, be single focus and hearted about that, you're not going to miss out on anything in this life and in the life to come after this earthly life, eternal life with God forever. And he said, but many who are first, those who in this life who seem like the winners, who seem to have everything, money, fame, status, will be last and the last first. So he's saying everything looks a bit different when you follow me. It might look like you don't have anything, but you're going to have the greatest riches with me. So again, what might you or I need to let go of to grow more in our journey with God, to gain his riches and flourish in him? It might be helpful to also think just that there can be some aspects of letting go that might be helpful to think about. And these are some suggestions about letting go. I know for me, there were times when I was in a relationship before I met my darling husband, of course, which I completely loved this young man, but had a sense in my spirit that I don't think this is going to be right. And had to make room for God. And I didn't really want to do that, but I knew I wanted the more of God and trusted that he had the best for me and have kept trying. So I've kept trying to implement that approach to things in my life, to keep coming before God. So I think in terms of letting go, there are some aspects to think about. One of them is accepting change. I think with that, this is the next slide, please, Joshua. So letting go means that involves accepting that there needs to be change. And with that, to accept that there's actually another way of being and living, that another way of being is actually possible, that God is moving us into a space that might be quite different to what it looks like right now, and to accept the possibility for that to happen. And to accept too that we've already been called into a life of transformation and change. We are already called into this process of transformation. We might find too that as we let go, that we might find that we might need to forgive ourselves and others because we begin to realise, oh, Lord, I was so unaware that I was pursuing this. You know, I recognise at times in my life there have been hobbies I've taken up and I really love doing them. And there's nothing wrong in the hobby itself, but it's just making sure my attitude toward that pastime is actually healthy. And to keep giving that to God, saying, oh, I'm sorry, Lord, if I'm really putting that before you, and so that my time is maybe taken away. I just really want to lay it before you. So sometimes there's a need for forgiving ourselves some of the attitudes that we've held onto so tightly. I really thought my life should work out this way, God, but sorry, Lord, please come. You come and lead me because I know that you're good. I'm sorry, Lord. Sometimes we might need to forgive others because we might feel that they have held us back, you know, and unforgiveness only binds us up. So that might be a part of our journey with that. And to know that, you know, God doesn't hold anything against us. There is no condemnation for us in Christ. We're already forgiven. So it's really good to recognise we are living in grace with God. And also to find God in our experience. You know, sometimes we're caught up in things and we're feeling, oh, I've got to let this go. And it's a really difficult process. And God, oh, what about all this time I've wasted? All these years I've been pursuing this and I should have been pursuing you. God, I'm so sorry. It's good for us to see that God knows where you're at. And he sees now, he sees your future, and he's working with you. And to find God in that experience, that it's just a part of his journey with you as you let things go and allow more of him. So if God is challenging us to let go of something, we can trust him in the process of change, no matter how daunting it might seem. It's also, it might be good to look at the Apostle Paul, because he wrote some things about letting go and moving forward quite powerfully. And he wrote in Philippians. Now, Paul, before he became a Christian, had great status, he had a great education, he was well off, and then he had an encounter and met Jesus. Everything changed for him because he saw that Jesus was all that he needed to pursue. With Jesus, everything in him was so satisfied. He had fullness of life in a way that he never anticipated. It was a life he was always looking for, and always thought he was on track to have. But when he met Jesus, he realised, wow, Jesus is the real deal. And he said in Philippians 3:7 we start, But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. So whatever the world thought was great for me to have in life, I say, no, I consider it a loss. I put it to one side. Or I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. He's let go, he's saying. I've let go of everything. In fact, I consider them rubbish. He really is making a point here. That I may gain Christ and be found in him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. God has totally changed how Paul sees life, of what really is of benefit. And Paul's deduction is that Jesus is just simply the greatest of all. Jesus is all I want. Jesus is the greatest. And what he's wanting to take hold of now, instead of the fame, the riches, the status, all the things that his family would have wanted for him, he says, what I want to know now is I want to know Christ. I want to know a life-changing, completely transforming relationship of intimacy, of love with Jesus, and I can have that. I can have that because of his spirit in me. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to experience the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus working in and through my life to powerfully transform me, that I might powerfully impact others with the love and power and life of God. I want to fellowship and share in the sufferings of Christ. Oh, he's saying, I want my faith, this life I have now to be refined, to get stronger and greater and better, and to somehow attain to the resurrection of the dead, to live fully as a new creation. The old has gone and I'm raised up to this wonderful new life in Christ that I can live right now. So Paul not only lets go but moves forward with great purpose. And he goes on to say here in 3:12 that not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect. So what he's saying, not that I've already attained what I'm really holding on to, because there's always more to take hold of, but I press on to take hold of for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it yet. Again, there's always more in God, always more for God, more that God wants, has for us. But one thing I do, Paul says, one thing I do. Paul is single-minded and totally focused. He says, forgetting what is behind, letting it all go, but straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, I've completely let go of everything that would hold me back. And I'm intentionally, with great effort and purpose, pursuing God's purpose for him. So today, again, what is our mind focused on? Paul is saying his single focus is growing in his relationship with Jesus. What preoccupies our thoughts today? You know, just like Paul, we're also called to know. We are called to know Jesus and to reflect his glory, experience his power in our life, to keep growing and having our faith refined so that we may be Christ's ambassadors to the world. But we're all different. And we'll all do this in different ways. Some of us here might be stay-at-home mums who are also called to reflect the goodness and glory of God, to take hold of Christ. Or you might work full-time, you might study, you might be at school, at uni. You might be unemployed, you might be working in the church, you might be a part of this faith community. Whatever our circumstances, we're all called to take hold of Christ and his life. So what would it look like then for you to know Jesus more? What would it look like for you to know Jesus more in your circumstances and in your faith community, this one or wherever it is you might be from? How is God wanting to transform you? You can go back to the other one actually, Joshua. It's not that one yet. How is God wanting to transform you and me and allow you to reflect more of him, that you become more you? How do we do this? How can we actually do this letting go and taking hold? You know, as we all desire to live, and I know this is our heart, to live in this fullness that Jesus desires for us, again, it's great to use this time today to consider, you know, are there things, you know, their attitudes, ideas, pursuits, people, is God challenging me something in some area of my life? Maybe he wants me to let go of some control I've got in a certain part of my life where I always feel like I need to know what's going on. Maybe God's wanting me to trust him more. Are we taking hold of the things that God wants us to actually pursue and take hold of? Are we taking steps of faith toward that? Are we willing to move out of our comfort zones into a space that God might be calling us into? Are we straining forward like Paul told us that that's what he's doing? He's straining forward, pushing in with determination to maintain that forward momentum in his life with Christ. What might we need to do to help with this? And so, things to think about. A suggestion that I've got, now we can have the next slide, to move forward with purpose is to do a few things. To recognise, let's recognise what really matters in life. You know, knowing Jesus is the greatest. Our best life is always with Jesus. We're already brought into a positive process of transformation and spiritual growth. This is where we're at. That is our life in Christ. So let's recognise that. Let's embrace change, because that's the reality of being in Christ. Christ doesn't want us to stay where we are, where we're at. He doesn't like that status quo in our life that keeps us, we might be in a good spot, but God wants us to take us even to a better spot, a greater space in him of knowing him more. And we can embrace change as an opportunity. Sometimes it can be scary, but it's an opportunity to learn and to grow. To be still, you know, let's make that time to be intentionally quiet with the Lord, to make those moments happen where we can be reflecting on what God is doing, hearing God's voice. Is God bringing some challenge into our life? Maybe he wants to lovingly point out what we lack right now, just as Jesus did with that young man in the beginning. Maybe there's something he wants us to let go of and something to embrace. And to embrace challenge, to see that, you know, when we are still with God, God might, there can be a bit of a ruffling, a bit of a disturbance in our spirit. We know that something's going on. He's wanting to maybe move things around. It might feel a little bit uncomfortable, but to embrace that, to know that if we know that's from God, that he is an invitation for more growth in him. What's God saying? And to then let go, maybe we will be letting go of something that we might hold on and move into the more that God has for you. And we might need to unlearn some stuff, to learn new things about who God is maybe for you in your journey. To be open to hear from God, to hear from others. You know, we learn together, we in community, and we're here to support one another. So let's not distance ourselves either in this process, but discuss and pray with others, and let's discern together. And I thought it was pretty cute as I was looking at all this. Oh, we can be a rebel. You know, because this is not the life that the world is wanting us to live. This is, you know, if we're really living to follow Christ and to hold on to things, to hold on to God and the things he's calling us into, it's not a life that the world understands or accepts. Even our, you know, your friends and your family might not always understand your decisions. But this is the life that God has called us to. So let's decide to live life to the full and to flourish in God. And let's be that rebel in the world's eyes and take hold of Jesus. Let's take hold of Jesus. Can I ask the worship team to come back and just invite us all to stand as we just come to worship? So I just want to come and just pray. Oh, yeah. I'll give you back the mic. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, I know that you're here hovering over each one of us today. And we ask, Lord, would you just come and search our hearts today, Lord? Would you show us what's in our hearts? And Lord, may we hold nothing back from you, but Lord, may we be open to your loving ways today, to see you loving us and to hear your words of love that may call us into a place of challenge, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good Father. And we want to say yes to you today. In Jesus' name. Amen.